Amen. Well, it's wonderful to be with you. I can sense that this is a really good church. Now, I want to ask, are there any children here?
Yes.
Right. Anybody younger than Ethan?
Yes.
Ethan can come as well. Now, where is Ethan?
Hiding in the baggage.
Are you Ethan?
Yeah.
In Hebrew, your name is Itan. And you get the first prize.
Oh, very nice. Hey, thank you.
Right, who wants to get the second prize? Right, the question is very easy. Where I work is a place that a very famous evangelist came to, and he's really, really miserable. And you know how he came? He came by submarine. 2,700 years ago. An evangelist in the Bible who came by submarine to where all my people live. Any ideas of his name? No big people. You have to be Ethan or younger. Right, maybe you know of the submarine as a whale. But it wasn't really. It was a submarine. Who came in a whale?
Jack.
What's your name?
Jack.
Jack, you win the second prize. So, all of my people lived where he went. But now, they've been chased away by the baddies. The baddies tried to kill our people. But do you know what? All those people who ended up in Nineveh by the miserable evangelists, do you know that the whole of the town became Christian? Hundreds of years later, in the midst of an Islamic country, there was one town which was Christian. It was Nineveh. Now, I've never heard anybody preach that in a story at the church. That 2,700 years later, his work has been successful. Now, Ben, in 2,700 years, will your work be successful? The message of God is yes.
Amen.
All of us are called to have a real successful ministry.
Amen.
What's your name? Sorry?
Lebu.
Lebu. Lebu. That's like a Middle Eastern name. I have children called Lebu. Would you like a pen? That one must be yours. Yeah, I think it must be yours, and this must be Lebu's, right? You have to ring it, press it three times. Before I was a preacher, I was a doctor. So I used to take one of these and say, open your mouth, go, ah, very good, you can have it. Ha ha. Thank you. So it's been lovely being with you all. I can have the packet. And it's very good. And today we're going to hear some more stories. But one story I want to tell you first is, do you see this cross here? This was made by my friend. He's a carpenter. And guess where he lives? Where was Jesus born?
In Jerusalem?
No.
Close.
7 miles away. Bethlehem. And my friend, who's a carpenter, guess what he's called? Joseph. Joseph the carpenter. And he makes these crosses. And all the children in our school wear them around their neck. And it reminds them that whatever happens, Jesus is with us and his cross is real. I always give a cross away at every service I'm in. And when I come into the church, I immediately pick somebody out who it's going to be to. And this week it's going to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
And the really funny thing was that I chose you to have this cross when I couldn't even see your face.
Wow.
Only saw on your back.
Do you still want to give it to me now you see my face?
No, I'll be honest with you. I want to give you a pen as well. So you get two prizes.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Now, I want to pray before I start talking, and I want to pray in the language that Jesus spoke. Does anybody know what did Jesus speak? You probably won't know. Who said that? Aramaic. So, I'm going to pray in Jesus' language. And he didn't pray this prayer because the Trinity wasn't known then. But the prayer is Shemid Baba, Brona, Brucha, Kusha, Ha'alaha, Alahuma Anna. Amen. And that says, in the name of God Almighty, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord is here, and his Spirit is with us. Bye! The little people and Ethan can go now.
Did you all get a pen?
Well done, everybody.
Can I just share something very quickly? When Andrew came to us last time, he gave out pens, as this time. But the funny thing was, that night, that evening, Chloe loved her pen. And that night, we had a power cut.
Wow.
Being a man in the house, I couldn't think where anything was that I could use, because Chloe woke up and there was no light. I couldn't put a light on anywhere, and I didn't know where the torches were, but the one thing that came to my mind was the pen.
And there we are.
Chloe needs a light to sleep, and so I put the pen on. And she just held it and went off to sleep. So I'm not expecting you to have a power cut tonight, but you never know. And it was just a lovely blend. God thinks of so much stuff. It was a small miracle. But I tell you what, as a father, in the middle of the night, and my daughter not being able to sleep, it was a very important miracle for me.
It's been very useful to me as well, the pen. When our power has been completely cut off in the Middle East, particularly in Baghdad, the pens always came in handy, particularly for the dentists. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 5. And Matthew chapter 5 is very important because it includes the Beatitudes, those wonderful words of Jesus. And these words are some of the most profound things that Jesus ever said to us. And in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 5, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you, and now they persecute you. I had a church of 6,500 people. I started the church with nobody, just a dead pigeon. That's all we had. And then we had a little war in 2003. I was in Iraq quite a long while before then. But in 2003, we were able to open our church. And first of all the expats came. All the people from the coalition. We had the CIA chief, the FBI chief. We had the head of MI5. We had them all there. But they were all spooks. Yeah. They weren't really the people on fire for God. Some of them became on fire for God. But then when it started getting really dangerous, we opened the church up to all the Iraqis. And the Iraqis came, and the church set on fire. I mean, literally full of the glory of God. We had so many people. And it was so lovely. I'll never forget. My assistant at the time, like I have Callum and Dan with me, I used to have a different assistant then. He was a very nice guy. He was called Justin Welby. It's quite useful when your assistant becomes your boss. And he was literally my assistant in Baghdad. I gave Anne Sopp one of my old books this morning, and in it there was a picture of him as my boy, my assistant. now. It was when your assistant becomes your boss and he's called Your Grace, you have to listen to him. So eventually he said to me, you've got to leave Baghdad today, because if you don't leave, they will kill you. And you're more use alive than dead. I tried to argue with him. I said, there's no way I can get out of Iraq. There's no transport. It's really dangerous. He said, don't worry, I'll manage to get you out. And he sent the Queen's plane in for me. And the only difference between the Queen's plane and any other private plane was there was a blue carpet in the toilet. That was my experience of the royal plane. So I fled to Jordan, and all of my people then started being attacked by ISIS. I had about 1,500 of my congregation killed. I won't tell you what and how it happened. It's too awful. It's too terrible. But we went to Jordan, and I remember I used to look after my families who had fled from Iraq. I used to buy them food and health care and everything. And one day, a little boy, Mario, whose father had been killed, Mario said to me, you've given us everything for our house. I've asked you to find my daddy, and you can't find my daddy. So I want to ask you two things. One, will you become my daddy? So of course I said yes. And then he said, will you give me a school? No Iraqis were allowed to go to school. So literally, I had 3 weeks to establish a school. And we gave him a school. And now that school has had hundreds of children go through it. The school is our worshipping community. All those people who were in Baghdad with me are now my children at school. But children tend to get a bit big. So a lot of those children who were mine, they are still mine, but now they've got married and have got their own children. So I used to be known as Abuna to all the children, like our daddy. But now I'm Jedu. I'm the granddad. Because the children have had children. Yeah. And it's wonderful. And many of them have now left the country. And at first they went to Canada. And now Canada's shut its doors. I've still got huge numbers of my grandchildren and children in Canada. But now they're going to Australia, which is a lot further. And it's quite a long way to have to go and see your children. But I still do. And I love them. And even though your children may be the other end of the world, the other side of the world, they're still your children. And you can't leave them. You love them forever. My children in Baghdad, I wish they could stay in Jordan, sorry, not Baghdad, but they're not allowed to stay. It takes on average 6 years for them to get asylum in another country. And we've created our school, which has had hundreds of children go through it. We've created a hospital and a clinic and a whole relief project. We're literally taking our people who've got nothing and giving them everything. I have various daughters called Lena. It's got a bit complicated. So now they're known as Lena number one, Lena number two, Lena number three. But Lena number one, who's now got her own children, Lena number one was so full of the glory of God. There we were in Baghdad. And everybody was trying, well, they were mortar bombs and our people being killed. And we had some visitors come from Voice of the Martyrs. And they saw me and my children. And they said, here you are, in one of the most dangerous places in the world, one of the most frightening places, and yet you are the happiest, most godly person we've ever seen. Why? How? And she said to him, when you have lost everything, Jesus is all you've got left. My people have lost everything, but they haven't lost Jesus. Jesus is our everything. And I invite you today to become part of my community. I wished we could have shown you videos of them today because they are so wonderful. But they have indeed lost everything, but not Jesus. And they are so full of the glory of Jesus. People say, how do you manage to look after them? I've got no secret supplies of money. I've got MS and can't even walk anymore. And yet I can only do my work because of the love of the Holy Spirit. Because of the Lord is here. And with him, we can do everything. Blessed are the peacemakers. I am a peacemaker. It's very good being a peacemaker. Who would like to be a peacemaker? Great. Well, if you're a peacemaker, do you know what you're promised? Persecution.
Blessed for being persecuted.
No. Blessed are the peacemakers, and you will be persecuted. My people have been persecuted. I have been persecuted. I've been shot at. I've been kidnapped. I've been thrown in dungeons. And yet I've seen the glory come. I've seen the glory like Mylena. When you've lost everything, Jesus is all you've got left. I really want you to come with me and be part of my journey. I really do. This community, these churches here, are so close to me. Even though I haven't been to your church, look, you and I have got a different link because we're both Cambridge people. So we are one, whether you like it or not. Yeah, we have to stick together, don't we? And I've produced other Cambridge people, like my son, Yossi. When I got married, the one thing I prayed was, Lord, all I want to ask you for is a beautiful wife and a child who goes to Cambridge. When my son got his A-level results, I was so excited that I literally jumped off my bed, fell and cut my head open, had to have 10 stitches, but he did get in. Even though to the wrong college. But we just have to stick together, don't we? You know, you're Sydney Sainsbury's. He went to Queen's, I'm Clare. So we're all one. And it's really good that it doesn't matter whether we've been to Cambridge or not. Where we've been to is the presence of Jesus. I always say to people, my motto is, don't take care, take risks. And when you take risks for the king and the kingdom, then even when you're persecuted for Jesus, you'll love him more. You'll love him even more. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I've got no problems with that. Yes, those of us who are the peacemakers may truly be persecuted, but heaven comes to earth. Amen. Heaven comes to earth. Yes, we might have a hard time. By the way, most of you Brits, I know that I'm a Brit, but I'm only an honorary Brit. I really don't feel like a Brit. I feel like a Jerusalemite and a Baghdadite. And we know that the kingdom of heaven has come to earth. And that is what he promises. Yes, we might be persecuted. It's not somebody at work being horrible to us or saying you Christians are all kind of dodgy people. This is our people being killed. Their children. I never forget the day when ISIS turned up one day And they said to one of our men, "You've got to say that you're going to follow Islam. And Muhammad is the greatest, otherwise we kill your children." That night he called me and said, "Abuna, Abuna, will Yeshua, will Jesus forgive me?" I said, "What have you done?" He said, "ISIS were going to kill my children." And they said to me, "Will you follow Muhammad? Otherwise they're all dead." And I said the words that I would follow Muhammad. I couldn't see my children killed. I said, "Jamal, I'll be honest with you. I may be your Abuna, but if I was given that choice of my children or saying you'll follow Muhammad, I would have done that myself." The next day it wasn't so good. ISIS came to 4 of our children. And they said to them, "You've got a choice. You either say you'll follow Muhammad and Jesus isn't real, or you're dead." The children started singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones who him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, only the old ones will know that. In our day, only the children knew it. But now you have to be older to know Jesus loves you. So the children refused to give way, and they were all killed. And when I was told this at night, I cried and I cried and I cried. My children, 2 of my other children who lived in our compound, came to me the next morning and he said, "Daddy, we know you're crying, but we had a dream last night. We saw all of the children and they were in heaven dancing with Jesus." And that has been the thing which has kept me going. Whenever things have been really bad, I've seen my children dancing in heaven with Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers. This terribly hard job of peacemaking, I invite you not to just be spectators in Sussex, to join us and become peacemakers. You may be persecuted, but persecution will lead to the kingdom of heaven coming to earth and dwelling amongst us. Can't you see the presence of God coming here now? And the Lord says, "I am here. My spirit is with you." I'm amazed by the fact that so often now in my not very good physical state, God has used me to be a source of his healing. God can still heal through me. Just because you've got a shoddy body doesn't mean he can't use you. Just because life might be hard doesn't mean his glory is not there. Come in your glory, Lord. Come, Lord, in your power. And the Lord does want to come and touch people here today. And my colleagues and I, Callum and Dan and I, all pray for people and anoint them. I want to pray for people who are specifically responding to words of knowledge. One of the problems is I was a medical man before I was a peacemaker. So when I have words of knowledge, they tend to be a little bit more sophisticated. So I want to pray for somebody who's got retinitis pigmentosa. If that's you, you'll know what it is. There are three people with fibromyalgia. There's somebody with very bad IBS. There's somebody else with a pancreatic condition. And God says, you come for anointing and I will heal you. And God is saying as well that the children who are here now, they are so loved by me. Every one of you, not just those of you with pens, even if you haven't got a pen, God is with you. And he is calling you to be great people for Jesus. He is calling all of you. And you will achieve great things. And I think some of them will even end up having gone to the same university as us. And God wants you to aim high, not low, high. God wants the best for you. Is my other Bible here? My special Bible? You know, I was told when I was a young boy that, thank you very much, I was told, Andrew is very, very nice, but he's not very bright. We know he wants to be a doctor, but he's not really clever enough. So I grew up until I was doing my sixth form. I didn't think I was bright enough. But I always knew that I wanted to be a gas man. I wanted to be an anaesthetist. That kind of gas man. So I prayed that I would. And I was very particular. I only wanted to go to St. Thomas's Hospital. So I even knew where I wanted to train. And I got a letter from the hospital saying, we were very impressed by you. We shortlisted you, but you didn't get in. My head of sixth form said, I can't believe this. So I prayed, Lord, will you open the door? Anyway, a week later, I got a letter saying, we made a mistake. You have got in. So I did get in. My teacher, when I was 8, asked me, what do you want to do when you grow up? I said, I want to be an anaesthetist and a priest. she said, you can only do one thing, you can't do two. You can only do one thing. And she said, it's a bit of a problem that you're a Pentecostal and a strict Baptist, and they don't have priests. Which is true. You know, my grandfather, he used to work for the person whose Bible this was. And I'm sure some of you will know, because this Bible goes all over the world and everybody knows the story. This is the actual Bible of this person. This is Smith Wigglesworth's Bible. And it's wonderful that from all of this background, God did call me to be an anaesthetist. And I did end up becoming an Anglican. So, oh dear, my microphone's falling off. I'm finishing in a minute, but if you want to buy one of my books and hear, have my story, there's one which is all about the terrible treatment that the Christians gave to the Jews. And there's another good one which is my whole life story. We would love you to be able to buy them. And that will really help our persecuted Christians, because not a penny of the books goes to me. I don't actually have a salary. I live by faith. But God always does. So please, those people who I had a word of knowledge for, I want to anoint you. My colleagues want to anoint anybody else. I want to pray for you. I love you all. And I pray, Lord, may your glory come. May your glory be seen. I have lived with such miracles, signs and wonders. And I pray that that same glory will come among and upon all of us now.
Amen.
And we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.